But they get to them. That's not true. Because the self is predominates. The idea of the self is totally taken over. You know what I mean? There's a difference. But a kid that comes from an ascetic environment, it's much easier. If you could reach him rationally, it's much easier. He's much better. Much better off. Okay. But what I want to just make, I just want to leave with one thought. The idea of enjoyment, and this is what you were aiming at this. The idea of enjoyment, the question is, if a person doesn't care about the self, so why is he enjoying himself? What's the person doing? The answer is, the idea of enjoyment is an important idea. Because if a person wants to be able to enjoy chachma, it demands that his psyche must be open to enjoyment. If a psyche isn't open to any pleasures, you can't enjoy chachma. That's why I say it's very bad when parents take children and they try to remove them from all kinds of pleasures. I mean, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that. But I'm just saying, it is a bad thing. Why? Because if you don't allow a child to enjoy himself, how is he supposed to enjoy chachma? What you're doing is, you're completely destroying any potential for him to have enjoyment. Okay? It's impossible to enjoy chachma. So the nature of a person is, a person's psyche must be open towards a certain amount of enjoyment in order to enjoy chachma. But that's a different kind of a phenomena than a person who's looking for enjoyment for himself. It's a different kind of a thing. A person that's looking for enjoyment for himself because he has to have these enjoyments, you see, that's a different kind of a, he's going to make a different kind of a judgment. The individual who checks himself and sees, let's see, did I have enough pleasure today in order that I shouldn't become morose, you see, I should be able to have a proper frame of mind, that's a different kind of evaluation. Different kind of evaluation. Okay? But what I want to say is that the whole premise of the Rambam about the golden mean is based upon this, presupposes this concept. Without this concept, it doesn't mean anything, because everybody's in there, everybody thinks they're in the mean. Yes. What I'm saying essentially is that any kind of image is no good. Whether it's to the right or to the left doesn't make any difference. In the middle, there's no image. That's the difference. The middle is devoid of imagery. Because the middle, and that's why the Rambam says that the one that's a showing should go a little bit, if he's a showing, he can go a little bit to one side. Only if he's a showing, a little bit to one side. See? A little bit to one side, not to the point where it's gonna harm him, but because the Rambam says that a person that's a chassid, that since a person by nature will go to one of the sides, is usually a stronger pole, so it's like a type of vigil, see? Vigilance, type of vigilance that is demanded. So he sacrifices a little bit of the psychological. You see, a little bit of psychological. But it presupposes, the whole idea of the Rambam's cheshbon presupposes the concept of removal of the idea of pleasure for the sake of the self. For the self. The given axiom of human existence. Okay. Second Rambam, the classification of individuals. Okay. Now, he comes, as I mentioned before, he comes back to the classification. First, he explained, we went through the explanation of a boor, after the boor was the Am Ha'aretz, then you had the Golem, then you had the Chacham, and then you had the Chassid. Okay, so we went through those five classifications. But, strangely, the Rambam comes back again to this type of a thing, in Mishnah Yadalit. Comes back to this, a similar kind of a thing. It's in the same parak. And he says like this. He says, Estakel eich kora hamarba liknos hamailos chosid vames atzel liknos rasha. A person that energetically tries to gain the milos, the perfections, which are the intellectual perfections and also the perfections of the midos. He says, look at this Mishnah. He says, observe. Notice how the Mishnah calls a person who pursues the perfections of chassid And a person who's lazy to fails to pursue them, he calls a rusher. Okay, he means something here. I mean, he says a snakel. He's he means, you know, the Rambam is the Rambam style. Is he just points out something. he doesn't elaborate too much. Like the Rav one time said, he said the problem with the Rambam is that when you read the Moran Avuchim, the problem is that certain areas which are seemingly understandable, the Rambam elaborates a lot. Then when it comes to the areas that you're waiting for an understanding, an important concept, he just briefly says, and note this well. Okay, when the Rambam says it's stakel, it means that it's an important point. This is not going to spend time, and he expects you to pick it up, expects you to understand it. So what is this stakel? It says, it's stakel eich kora marba liknos amailos chosid vames atzil liknos rasha. Okay, what is the what is the point in the Rambam? What's the point? I don't even stock it. What does he mean to point that over there? I think last week we mentioned that the really the concept of I, the concept of the self, is not a rational concept. Not a rational concept. Because rationally, the only concept that really exists should be it. It in the sense that you mean something that exists. So when you look at another person, he exists. He's in existence. But and that's if we were purely rational, so we would look at ourselves as just another it. There wouldn't be any difference between the self and between somebody else. But we notice from a psychological standpoint that there is a great difference. The self occupies a major portion in the of the human mind, whereas the other individual, who is entitled to, who exists just as surely as the I does, somehow or other his station is diminished. The amount of his existence, so to speak, is sort of reduced in a person's mental framework. And we mentioned that true perfection is where a person reaches the level that even the self becomes an it. Even the self is just another existence. That's like the Gemara says in Brachas. Ani beriyah v'chaveri beriyah. I'm a creature and my chav is a creature. It means that there's no difference. They're both existences. Absolutely no difference. That's the highest level of a person's, of human perception. But for most people, that type of a reality is very, very far removed from their personal lives. I believe Rafi Zion and all. Okay? So, yeah. And we mentioned last week that we said that what is the source of the concept of I? Where does it stem from, really? It's not a rational thing. And so from where does this stem? The great difference between the I and between the so-called it. And we mentioned that the difference is, the source is one thing. The source is what psychologists refer to as the pleasure principle. Because the I is the only it that gives a person a tremendous amount of pleasure. Pleasure doesn't come from other existences. Pleasure comes from the self. So the recognition of the self comes into play when the child notices that this particular it, if this it is satisfied, then the pleasure ensues. Pleasure follows. So the concept of I is tied very much to the exclusively. I mean, essentially. Is tied to the idea of pleasure. Okay, the I is the one it that gives the person, brings to the person pleasure. So it's based upon the pleasure principle. The whole objective of Yadis is to remove the person not from the pleasure principle. Yadis is not against pleasure. Yadis doesn't shun pleasure. The one who shuns pleasure is what the Rambam calls a chote. The chote. The chote is the one that tries to cause himself to abstain from pleasure and to even involve himself in pain. Pain means that he's going away from pleasure. That's the chote. But the philosophy of Yadis, that's what says Nashachot al Nefesh, because the nazir, because the nazir is abstains from pleasure. So the Yadis is not against pleasure. But Yadis, what is Yadis against? Yadis is against a certain reality that is derived from pleasure. In other words, pleasure is fine, but if pleasure starts determining reality, then that is when the person becomes removed from the philosophy of Yadis. Now the Rambam is saying, what the Rambam is saying is like this. He says, "Estakel, observe, Eich Korah Marba Liknos Hamaylos Chosid Amesatzel Liknos Rasha." What does it mean, Amesatzel Liknos? Why is the person Amesatzel Liknos? Amesatzel Liknos means he's lazy. He doesn't want. He's not interested. He's not a Holchei Beis Hamedrash. So what does it mean? It means to say that he wishes to live in accordance with his own pleasure. It means a certain comfortable state that the emotions portray, that the emotions present to him. That is really, that's the Russia. The chosid, he says, that's a rather, hamar beliknos hamar las chosid means holchei beis hamedrash. What is holchei beis hamedrash? Holchei beis hamedrash means the person who goes to the beis hamedrash, which is the area of study, of knowledge, of gaining knowledge. The beis hamedrash represents the place where a person learns the ultimate reality. What is real? What is true? And it means that it necessarily involves a negation of those of the reality which stems from a person's feelings, his natural feelings, by nature. His feelings by nature depict a certain reality. The Holchei Beis HaMedrash is the one that's capable of withdrawing, denying that reality. And he knows there's another reality which has to be learned and which goes against the reality that my emotions portray. The person feels, today's world it works in the completely opposite direction. They believe that happiness is attained through a concentration on the self. Just exactly the opposite of the others. It's like Chazal say, Das Balabayas, the Achronim say, Das Balabayas Hepach from Das Tara. Achronim say, Hepach, just the opposite. Because the happiness in the others can't be attained through the self, on the contrary. It's attained through a recognition of absolutes, of true ideas in which the self becomes reduced to an it. That's a ni beri of a chaveri beri. So the Rambam over here says, when he says a stakel, that's what he means. He means you should observe the fact that the Holchei Beis HaMedrash is the one that is willing to deny the comfortable feelings of the way he should live, which stem from his own pleasure principle. It's a denial of the pleasure principle. It's an interesting thing. In this week's Seder, so you have Vayesha, the story of Yosef HaTzadik. And you have, after that, the Haftarah. So there's always a tie-in between the Haftarah and between the Seder. Not just arbitrarily chosen, but there's a connection between the Haftarah and between the Seder. And question is, what is the connection in this week's Haftarah? What's the connection between the Seder and between the Haftarah? It's an interesting Haftarah. So on the surface, I mean, everybody, there's the first place says, Kolamar Hashem al Shlosha Pishe Yisrael al Arba Lo Ashivano. Three Averis, God says, I can tolerate. But Val Arba, the fourth, Lo Ashivano. Over there, I will not allow him to. I will not allow him to rest. Al Michlam BaKesef Tzadik, the Evyon Bavon Alayim. That's a general principle. The Kolamar Hashem al Arba. It's a general principle in Midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The way Hakadosh Baruch Hu is done the world, so the first three Averis he excuses. But the fourth one, he starts to institute his justice. Okay. Yeah. So it's a Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. Rambam Hilchos Teshuva. Now, what? Your Rashi says in Amos, "Dichsiv hein kol eila yifal kel pomim shaloshim geva," that the pasuk says in Iyov that God allows a person three averes. V'im yivater yivater, v'kan kachu panahati man kimidosa levater lehem adimo peshoy. Three I permitted. Okay. All right. So now it says, al pesha revi ein olai od la shiva rekom mila hoshiv lo gemo. All right. Now, what is the so the pasuk says? You have a few kolim. You have a few of those with regard to different umos. Then it says al shlosha pesha shola bola shvino al michram ba kesef tzadik ve'evyon bavur naloyim. Okay. So what does it mean al michram ba kesef tzadik? So everybody learns of it. So that's the tie-in, because they sold the tzaddik for kesef. Who's the tzaddik? Tzaddik is Yisrael tzaddik. But the truth of the matter is, if you look at the pasuk, I mean, what sense does it make in terms of the navi? Because the navi really is talking about the fate of Klal Yisrael. And basically it's saying, Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik, the Evyon Bavon Alayim, it means to say that God is done, Klal Yisrael, the final din was based upon what? On Ivus Mishpat, corruption of justice. Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik means the Dayanim. The Dayanim don't care about justice, but what do? They sell out the Tzadik, because they take bribery, the Evyon Bavon Alayim. Alright, well, what does it mean, Evyon Bavon Alayim? So Rashi says that they're very conniving. Now, loyim means a thin strip of land, Rashi says. They're very conniving. So what would they do? If they saw a person at a field that was in between the fields of the Dayanim, so they would cause him to lose the case, so therefore he needs money, and therefore bankruptcy, and therefore he has to sell his property, and therefore his property is enhanced. His property is enhanced. He can get the piece of land that he's looking for. But plain shot is, plain shot means that they sell out justice even for a pair of shoes. Even for a pair of shoes they'll sell out justice. That's what I mean. Small thing. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. Who made the tie up between Al Michram by Kesef Tzadik and Yosef Tzadik? I mean, let's go Tzadik and Tzadik. And where's the Well, they did. They sell them before they were going to Yishmael. Yeah, okay, right. They received 20 shekels. They received money. Okay. Yeah, I understand. You have to understand the idea behind it. Yeah. Okay. The motive was money. The motive was money. Correct. That's true. The motive was not money. So, but who made it? Who ties it in? Who ties in the two? That's Yeshua Tzadik. So it's Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Because the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, Al Michram Bakesef Tzadik. So it says that that's referring to Yosef. That's referring to Yosef Atzadik. Ve'evyon bavon aloyim. So the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that they went, each one of the brothers went. They received 20 pieces of silver, and each one went and took two, and they bought shoes. That's what Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says. So, it seems like a far-fetched association. Far-fetched association. And where do you see the boy choose? And you all suddenly need to choose. Yeah. Take a look at the Navi. Navi's like this. The Navi continues. Ashoa fimala far eretz barosh dalim. V'derech hanovim yatu. So, the plain pshat in the pasuk means it's a description of greed. That's according to every pshat. It's a description of greed to the nth degree. It means that they are desirous of the Afar Eretz Barosh Dalim. It means, the plain shot means, that they do, that even the little bit of dust on the head of the Ani, they have a desire for. It means that there's no limit to the greed. A poor man, a poor person is in need of what he has, but they have a she'ifa, a desire to take away from the poor person, even the smallest thing that he might have. Then the ish roviv yelchu al anara laman chal l'shem kachi. That seems out of place completely. That ish roviv yelchu al anara means a man and his father go to the rashi's naira marasa, means nus. So he goes with his father, and it means there's no shame. There's no shame with regard to sexuality, lust. Laman chal l'shem kachi. And the pasuk says, "Val begodim chavulim yatu etzokomis beach," and they recline on the clothes of those who they take the money they take from them, the things that they take from them unjustly. In other words, the mashkonos, the yonim collect, so they take the mashkin. They go to his house and they start taking away his property. They take these things and they recline on them next to the mizbeach. V'yenanushim yishtu beis Eloheim. And yenanushim is the wine of those who are oppressed. They drink this wine beis Eloheim, in right near the Avodah Zarah, right near the Avodah Zarah. Okay, what is the pasuk? What is the pasuk describing here? It's describing, it means to say that they involve themselves in, not only do they involve themselves in greed in terms of they're taking money from the poor and corrupting justice, but they do it without compunction. That's what does it mean, beis Elohim? You know what it says, lo lo of the Yisrael of Odozor, Allah hatu lam gezel arayas. What does it mean? It means to say that it's hard for a person to be a chote, to do a sin, because his conscience bothers him. And that's why they partook of Avodah Zorah, because the Avodah Zorah eases their conscience. They're also they're religious people. So they created a religion in which their conscience is satisfied, and in which they can continue do what they want to do, continue their corruption and their greed. That's the pasuk. Okay. Then the Navi goes on. The Navi says that God says, "V'anochi yishmarti es Amori mipneihem," and I destroy the Amori, the nation of the Amori, before them. Asher kegova arozim gova v'chosanu kalonim. The pasuk describes how powerful the Amori were. V'ashmit piryo mimal v'sharoshav mitachas, and I completely wiped them out. Then the pasuk says again, "V'anochi," further says, "V'anochi ha'leisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim." Gives a history of the history of Klal Yisrael. I took you out from the land of Mitzrayim. Va'olech eschem b'midbar bon shono l'reshes es eretz ha'mori. I took you through the midbar for 40 years in order to conquer the land of the Amori. Va'okim mibneichem l'neviyim u'mibachureichem l'nezirim. And I made from your sons the prophets, neviyim, and from the young men I made nazirim, people who were removed from the world of taiva. Precious. This doesn't mean a nazir. It means precious. Okay. Ha'afin zos bnei Yisrael l'Hashem. Is this not so? God says, is this not so? Okay. What is the Navi getting at? What is the relationship between this and what he said before? That's the whole history. I took it out of Mitzrayim. So, I mean, it's nice, but what does that do with this? Ha'afenzos? Isn't this true? What does it mean, isn't this true? Then the pasuk says, V'atashku es ha'nezirim yoyin. V'al ha'nevi'in tzivisem lemor lo tinavu. And you gave the nezirim wine to drink, which means that you removed them from their lives of precious. You enticed them. You removed them from their lives of precious. So you got rid of the precious in Klal Yisrael, the institution of precious. And the Nevi'im you told, you commanded loting of them. You shouldn't prophesy. Okay. Then the pasuk says, so God says, Hine enochi meyik tachtechem, kasher torka gola malei lo omir. I'm going to apply pressure to you. Just like a heavy wagon which is filled to its capacity, it creaks under under the pressure. Yeah. Then the pasuk, Vavad monos mikol, the chozak lo yameitz kochal, the gibor lo yamaleit nafsho. And those who are fast will lose their ability to escape. And the strong one will not be able to gather together his strength. And the powerful one will not be able to save his life. And the one that holds the bow and arrow will not be able to stand. And the one that's quick-footed will not be able to escape. And the one that rides the horse will not be able to save his life. The Amitz Libo Bagibam are the most powerful men, the most powerful strong man, Oram Yonas Bayamahu Nerum Hashem. He will run away naked on that day. Okay. So then the Pasuk goes on. The Pasuk says, Shimas Lavazirishon, Ashadibra Hashem Alechem Tvenesel, Al Kolam Ashbach Hashem Lacey Meretz Mitzrayim. Okay, then the Pasuk says, Rak Eschem Yadati Mikol Mishpachos Adam, Al Kain Efkot Alechem Es Kol Vonesehet. So God says, the only reason that I'm going to do this is because of the special relationship that I have to you. Because I took you out from the land of Mitzrayim, and you're the only nation that I know, and that's why I'm going to bring this upon you. Then the Pasuk says, Navi goes on, Hayel Chushnayim Yachdov, Biltiyim Noadu. Can two people happen to meet together precisely at the same moment, at the same time, unless it was pre-planned? Is there such a thing as coincidence? Navi says, just assume it's a coincidence if things happen precisely, exactly. Hayisha Gaye Bayar V'Teref Enlo. Does a lion roar in the in the forest, and he doesn't have a kill, a prey? Hayitink Fir Kolom Monoso Bukiyim Lochod. Then he says, does a bird fall down to the ground unless there is a trap, a snare? Hayala Pachman Adon V'Locha Lo Yulkod. If you have a snare, won't it catch something? Okay, Pasuk is different from Shalom. Ki lo yasa Hashem Elokim dovar, ki im gol asodo al avod av hanaviim. God doesn't do anything until he reveals his sod to the Nevi'im. That wasn't the time when we had Nevoah. Aryeh Shog, this is the last pasuk in Haftarah. Aryeh Shog milo yira. A lion roars. Who will not be afraid? Ad Hashem Elokim diber milo yinaveh. So if God spoke, how could the person not prophesy? What is the signum advarim in the another? What is the continuity in another? What does one idea have to do with the other? Sounds like disparate ideas. And what's the last one? Yeah. So the Navi really over here gives the essence of the philosophy of Yadis. The essence of the philosophy of Yadis. See. What is the depiction that the Navi gives at first? First depiction the Navi gives is the individual who is completely overcome with greed. Yeah, but then I mentioned, I says, what does that have to do with Ish Rav V'Yelchu Al Hanara? What's that doing here? It's a different thing. One is a greed, monetary greed. And then the Ishvi, what is this? It's a different thing. What does it mean? So, the Navi really is describing what we're discussing. It means to say that the lowest level of humanity is where the whole essence of the person's reality is the I, is the self. That's the lowest level of the of human existence, where the self takes over. There's no other reality besides the self. And what does it mean? It means that it's a denial of the recognition of a metaphysical reality. The Rav one time said, he says, what is Torah? He says, if you come to learn Torah, he says, you have to abandon the logic of the businessman. So the Rav said, what do you mean the logic of the businessman? I mean, we believe in doing things logically. A person goes into business, he has to use the chachma. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that a person that loses his money, it's a sign that he lacks chachma. A person that invests poorly is a sign that he lacks chachma. The Gemara says, it's a tirosh. Tirosh, the Gemara says. Tirosh means wine. So the Gemara says, a person that drinks, the word rosh could mean head, and it can mean rush, can mean poor. A person that that lives in moderation. So it means he partakes of wine in moderation. So it's a good thing. Rosh improves his mind. It causes him to be in a certain state that's conducive towards thought. Relaxed, he can think. But T-Rosh means if he doesn't live in moderation, so he becomes poor. He loses his money. That's Rosh, he becomes poor. So poverty, if a person becomes poor, that's not considered a mila, he loses money. It's considered a chasaran, so we believe that a person, if a person does not handle his money properly, he's a fool. So what does it mean, what do we mean when we say, when the Rav says to abandon the logic of the businessman? It means like this. It means that the businessman's logic is restricted only to the world of the senses that is before him. That is the world that is real to him. Nothing else is real. Only the world that's depicted by the same world, the world of the I, the world of the self, and the world of the pleasure, the pleasurable. Because it's the same thing, the same source. It means the world of the senses. The world of the senses. But Yadus maintains that there's another reality. There's a reality behind that world. It's a different reality, a metaphysical reality. That's why it says, that's why the Pasuk says, V'anochi yishmarati yasamori mipneihem. Asher gigova arozim gova v'chosan hu kolonim. V'ashmi pirin, what does the Pasuk describe how powerful the Amori is? What does it mean? V'anochi aleis yeschem eretzasem, v'alochaschem mamibar barashonah, l'rashas yasamori. Okay, what does it mean? It means to say like this. It means God says to Klal Yisrael, he says, but just a minute, your life and your lifestyle, you're denying the metaphysical. But your very existence, how did you come into existence? You came into existence only because I was the one that destroyed the Amari. Because of the metaphysical reality, you're in existence. So your very existence is contingent not upon the reality of the senses. The reality of the physical, you would never destroy the Amari. The Amari were destroyed only for one reason. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of, for the purpose, for what purpose? For what purpose? V'okim mibneichem l'nevim u'mibachureichem l'nzirim. And in order to establish a nation that has precious, that has nazirus. That was the purpose. That's the whole purpose of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. For 40 years, God took Klal Yisrael to the Midbar. For what purpose? For the metaphysical purpose. So what is really the underlying reality? The very existence came into being only because of the metaphysical reality. That's what the Navi says. Ha'afinzos, b'nei Yisrael l'Hashem? Is this not so? Can you deny this? That's why the Pasuk says, that's why, but can you deny? You can't deny that your very existence is contingent upon the metaphysical. Okay? Then the Pasuk says, v'atashku es anazirim yoyin, that you remove the institution of precious from Klal Yisrael. V'al hanavim tzivisem lema lo tinavu. What does that mean? That means, lo tinavu means, is the last step in the corruption. Why? Because it's the final closing off of any kind of reality, metaphysical reality. What is the voice of the Navi? What does the Navi say? The Navi is the voice of reality. So it's one thing if a person gets lost, but if he stops the Navi, that means that he can't even allow the voice of reality to exist. He obliterates the metaphysical reality. While in a vim tzivisam lo tinavu. It's complete obliteration of the metaphysical reality. So then God says, that's why God says that I'm going to deal with you mida kenege mida. What is mida kenege mida? It says, v'ovad manos mikol, v'chozok lo yametz kocho, v'gibor lo yamalet nafsha. You're depending upon the world of the senses, the world of physical reality. According to the world of physical reality, so who should escape? Who should be victorious in battle? The Kal Baraglav, the fast runner, the powerful warrior. No. The Sofes Akesh is lo yamo, the Kal Baraglav lo yamale. The Rochav is lo yamale nafsho. Vametzli Boba Yibon, the most powerful person, Orom Yonas Bayamo, no Hashem. Empty handed will run away. It means to say that God is going to demonstrate, nida keneged nida, that it is not the physical, not the world of sense perception that is going to, he's not going to allow Klal Yisrael to be successful through natural means, through the world of the physical. And why? It's only because God isn't interested in showing people that they're weak. I mean, all their might doesn't mean anything. What is he concerned? He doesn't care. So they want to have an erroneous idea so they can live an erroneous life. But no, because of the special relationship that I have with Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Navi continues, Hayelchu shnayim yachtov bilpiyim no'adu, hayishag ayeh bayar v'teref einlo. Can you deny the idea of causality? That's the idea of causality. Hayelchu shnayim yachtov bilpiyim no'adu. It says that Is it possible to say it's just coincidental? So what you're doing is you're basically denying the whole world of causality. And that's why the Navi ends off. And he took a shelf of beer from Lo Yachradu. It means to say that a person is frightened because of the senses. The roar of a lion. Roar of a lion. I mean, of course, in our society, we don't have these type of experiences. But basically, the lion's roar is a deafening, frightening roar. I once read about somebody that encountered such a situation. The roar of the lion is one which instills among the animal kingdom instills the greatest fear, the deafening roar. So the pasuk says is you're afraid of the roar of the lion, the physical, the senses. Hashem Elokim diber milo yinaveh, but the source of all reality, the ultimate causality, how is it possible to deny that a person should not be menabe? He shouldn't recognize the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the Navi. So the Navi really, the Navi is giving a, in this short, in these few psukim, the Navi is spelling out really what the philosophy of Yadus is, what it means. It means it's a denial of the ultimate causality of the practical and the world of sense perception. And the world of pleasure. It's an ultimate, and that's Yadus. Yadus believes in reality, in causality. But it has a different type of source for the causality. The ultimate causality is the causality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Hashgacha. And it's a denial, it's the ability of man to deny the causality of the physical. That's what the Navi is expressing. Now when a person, what is greed? What is greed? When a person is capable, is in a position where he's capable of taking something for himself, and corrupting justice, and acting in accordance with his greed, what idea goes through his mind? The reality of the physical situation that is before him. And a denial. What stops a person? When he's in a position where he's capable. I'm not talking about people that are afraid of getting caught. I'm talking about people who are, here we're talking about Chofkin. They were the Dayanim. Nobody could stop them. They're on top. So they have the total ability to completely take for themselves whatever they want. What should stop a person in such a situation? There's only one thing that could stop him. That's the recognition of a metaphysical reality. The only thing that could stop him. So the concept of corruption and greed to the Navi, what does it mean, the concept of corruption and greed? It's not a matter of being honest, because simply it's a virtue. It's a whole philosophy. It's a whole philosophy. It means, honesty means the recognition of a metaphysical reality. It's a different concept. Not that people are honest because he has a emotion, he feels better, his conscience bothers him, he's not honest. That's a low level. What honesty, the true honesty, is brought about only through one way. Through the fact, what stops the person from corruption, what stops the person from, as the tefillah says in Yom Kippur, the Laman Nechdal Me Oshek Yadenu. What does it mean, Laman Nechdal Me Oshek Yadenu? It means from grabbing, the Oshek Yadenu, grabbing with our hands. The Oshek means the desire, the physical desire that a person has to take for the self. What stops him? Only one thing, the recognition of the metaphysical reality. Now, what does that have to do with the Sedra, with this week's Sedra? So it's an interesting thing. The Gemara in Ksubas says that there's an Isser, as everybody knows, to take Shochat, for a Dayan to take Shochat. Dayan is not permitted to take Shochat. Take graft, everybody understands that? Corruption? Because if a judge will take money from one of the litigants, so naturally, if he takes it to corrupt justice intentionally, so that you don't have to have a pasuk. The Gemara says, well, sikach shochad. Well, what do you have to have a pasuk for? Lo satan mishpat. You're not allowed to corrupt justice. So that's simple, that a judge isn't allowed to take money in order to sway the case. You don't have to have a pasuk of lo sikach shochad to tell you that, because that's lo satan mishpat. You're not allowed to corrupt justice for any reason. So what do you have to have lo sikach shochad? So the Gemara says that there's no reason. Yeah. The shokach lo sifat, lo sikach. You're not allowed to take graft. Ma talmud lama. Why do you have to have this? Im lelamed shelo lezakos asachayev shelo lechayev asazakah. If it's to teach you that you're not allowed to make a person who's supposed to be condemned to make him innocent, so that we know. Shelo lechayev asazakah. Harei kran emel asatim mishpat. Ela filu lezakos asazakai ulechayev asachayev. Omra Torah v'shochad lo sikach. So the Torah says, even if you're going to paskin the din correctly, properly, you still aren't permitted to take shochad. Okay. So you'll say the reason is very simple, because even if you intend to be done properly, but once you take shochad, so you're inclined towards one of the two litigants, right? Is that okay? So, fine. But the halacha is even more than that. The halacha is that the Gemara uses this to teach you another halacha. What's the halacha? Even if you take bribery from both litigants, exact same amount, still asa. Still asa? The Gemara says, V'chi teimahana milechad lo shakal mitavayu. You might say that when you're not allowed to take graft, not allowed to take bribery, if you don't take from both, because they're not going to be fair. Dilma osilats liye dina. Because maybe what you're going to do is you're going to corrupt the din. So the Gemara says, V'chi lo osilats liye dina mishari. Are you allowed to take from both? Because the Gemara says from this pasuk, V'shochad l'sikach. What do you have to have a shochad l'sikach for? It says l'sata mishpat. So the Gemara says, even if you're going to paskin properly, what do you mean paskin properly? Not that you're going to take money from one. Take money from one, you'll say you're not going to be able to paskin properly because you're naturally affected. A person's a human being, psychologically can't help himself. He took money from one person, helped him out. He has to feel, he must feel closer towards that person. As much as he thinks he's a just person, it's impossible. Okay, we understand that. Even the greatest chacham, the greatest chacham, the greatest tzaddik, it's impossible for him to judge fairly once he's taken from one person, because he's a human being. It's impossible to overcome that emotion. He feels close towards that person. It's impossible. Okay, fine. But if I take from both, what's better if I take from both? Now it's impossible for me to distort the mishpat. I took the exact same amount from each litigant. What's the halacha? No, you're still over shochad lo sikach. Why? Why are you over shochad lo sikach? What kind of shochad is it? What kind of shochad is it? So what's the answer? Why is it still such a serious a serious crime, a serious aver of shochad? What's the answer? The answer is because what is mishpat really? What is mishpat? Mishpat Mishpat in Yad is a strange phenomenon. Mishpat is really represents more than just being truthful. It represents, Mishpat represents the conquest of the metaphysical over the physical. That's what Mishpat is. Mishpat is the conquest of the metaphysical over the physical. Mishpat means, the world of Mishpat means, the world of Mishpat is the world is the world in which the ideas prevail over the physical instincts of man. That's what Mishpat represents. That's why the Gemara says that a person that's don a din emes lamito, a person that judges a correct din, he's a shutef with a Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh bereishis. He's a partner with God in the creation of the universe. Why? Because the creation of the universe is a metaphysical phenomena. Metaphysical phenomena. There's a physical phenomena, it's true, but behind the physical phenomena is a metaphysical phenomena. Mishpat represents the conquest of the metaphysical over the instinctual. And that's why if a person has any considerations, if he takes money, even if he takes money from both litigants, but it means to say that his energies are removed now from the world of the metaphysical, from the world of the metaphysical, and now there's a physical gain involved in the judgment. The whole concept of the judgment of Mishpat has been reduced. Even though he could judge logically, he could judge fairly. He took from both equally, exact same amount. He doesn't feel any closer towards one than the other. But the Mishpat has been contaminated. Why? Because now the judgment is not a metaphysical phenomenon anymore. Now what kind of a phenomenon is? It's a phenomenon of the sensual, of the self. It's a phenomenon which involves the individual's physical nature. It's drawing his physical nature is involved. It's not a purely metaphysical phenomenon anymore. The Mishpat is no good. That's Lo Sikach Shochad. That's the Torah's idea of Shochad. Okay, it's a different concept. It's removed from what the common people, what an average person, what even just people who would set up a legal system, like the American legal system, it's not the same. It's not the same. Because they would say, look, he's fair, he's from both equally, why not? That's what the Navi said. That's the idea of the Navi. And that's the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that what is the tie-in between the Sedra, Yosef HaTzadik, and between the Haftarah? What's the connection between the Sedra and between the Haftarah? The connection is because by Yosef HaTzadik, they sat down to judge him. Okay, so Shiftei Kah, they were on a very high level. They weren't just corrupt individuals. And it was before Matan Torah, so we don't know exactly how what the system was before Matan Torah. But apparently they had a right to Al Pidin. It was a Bezdin. They sat down and they were don him, and they held that the way he's living, he's Chayav Misa. He's Chayav Misa. Okay, I'm not going to go into what the Gedorim were before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Obviously, after Matan Torah, Korovim can't be done. But before Matan Torah, it was a different system. Okay. But they sat down to judge him, and they decided he's Chayav Misa. Then the question arose, what to do with him? So should they kill him? He says, no, put him in the bor. Then they decided, Reuven really said put him in the boar because he wanted to come back later and save him. So he was against them. It was 9-1. And then what happened was then they made a decision in between. L'chuvin Ibn Yishmael. L'chuvin Ibn Yudah. Yeah, I bet so, yeah. L'chuvin Ibn Yishmael. So the Anoshim, the Gyanim, Sochrim came by and they sold him. But where was the corruption? That's what the Picket of Lovers says. The corruption was that they used the money. See, the justice was not really complete. The judgment was not on the proper level. Why? Because they in the judgment, Ma betza kinaro gesachino resino es dama lechuvin im krenle yishmeilim. Yeah, they paskin misa already. Fine. But the moment they used the money was an object of their interest that reduced the level of the trial, and it was not a metaphysical phenomenon anymore, because a certain amount of their energy was involved in the material gain of the 20 pieces of kesef that they got from the Ishmaelim, you see. So therefore, that's what the Pirkei de Rebbe Loza says. That's the tie-in between the Haftorah and between the Torah, because the Niyadis, the idea of judgment. What is the idea of judgment? It's a different kind of an idea. It's more than justice. It's more than justice. It means that judgment, din is a shutah for the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Din is a metaphysical phenomenon. If there is any energy that the person has, if he can't deny totally the physical, if he can't deny the physical totally, then the din is not a real din. And that's why the Achim's mishpat was not mishpat. Al-Mikram ba-Kesef Tzadik ve-Evyon ba-Vorna Aloyim. That's the tie-in between the Haftarah and the Sedger. Okay. Deuced. The moment they said Ma-Betza and they took money, became involved, it was not a metaphysical phenomenon. They reduced it. And that's why the judgment was corrupt. It's an interesting thing. They don't condemn. It's a funny thing, because you would think that why should you condemn them? No, that's a condemnation. The Haftarah is a condemnation. But you would think, why should you condemn them? Because of the. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing. You think because of the jealousy. Because of jealousy, which of course was a corruption. That's true. But the condemnation was more. Okay, a person's jealous. Can't help it. You know, what Rabban Soloveitchik would say, even the tzaddik is jealous. Jealousy is a hard thing for a person to obliterate, to say he's not jealous at all of anybody. It's not human. He has jealousy. But a person has jealousies, and a person has emotions. It's fine. He's a human being. It's expected. But if he can't, the problem is that he can't raise himself to the level of the metaphysical. If he can raise himself to the level of the metaphysical, then he can deal with his jealousies, he can deal with his emotions. But if he can't do that, then that's when he really is a chote. See, that's when he's a chote. So it's an amazing thing, but the condemnation of the Achim is not because they had those weaknesses. Everybody has weaknesses. Fine, can't help yourself. Human being has weaknesses. But there is one way for a person to... There's one antidote for a person's weaknesses. What's the antidote? Yeah, a person's in a situation where he could steal and he could rob and no one can catch him. So it's a tremendous diver. But what stops him? There's only one thing. The recourse, thinking about the recognition of the metaphysical. Person has emotions, can't help himself. He's a mechanic, he's jealous. After all, it wasn't just a silly jealousy, because you're talking about people that weren't kids anymore. These were men. They're grown men. So what are they jealous of? So the father likes the younger one better. Oh, I mean, this is silly. I can understand children are jealous like that. But grown men, what are they kids? The father's an older man, and they have their own lives and successful people. What are they concerned with? He likes him a little better. What was the big kinnah? Oh, the kinnah was really based on, like I mentioned last week, it wasn't just the kinnah. Because the kinnah was based upon the fact that Yaakov was the source of all chokhmah, and they were and the fact that he favored Yosef, and as a matter of fact he favored him not just in terms of showing him more kindness, but he favored him because the Gemara says that he gave over all the Torah that he learned in Shein Ve'Eiver, which means the metaphysical, deep metaphysical ideas he entrusted to Yosef. And the Yaakov knew this, and that's what really brought on the kinnah. So the kinnah wasn't just a plain, simple kinnah. You're not talking about children that are jealous and the father shows more than another. They had their own lives. They're grown men. but what the jealousy was based upon the fact that they were envious of the knowledge that Yosef was receiving from Yaakov. It was jealousy based on avas chokhmah. It wasn't just a banal jealousy. But that is excusable. But what was not excusable was that they couldn't rise to the total metaphysical when it came to being done. The din was corrupt. That's what the Navi says. Yeah.
What
It's, in other words, the glory milsula mafresi, the fact that they had an interest, the fact that the money, you're right, what Don is asking is that at the time, first when they paskin misa, there was no money involved. You're right. But the fact that later in the judgment, money became a source of it, they were interested in the money, any interest in the money. It wasn't a corrupt trial. It wasn't, in today's court, if a trial was done like that, it says the highest justice possible. No question about it, highest justice. But the corruption was the fact that in the trial they permitted the an interest, a certain sum of energy to be directed towards money. It shows that the concept of din was lacking. The whole concept of din as a metaphysical phenomena, as a shutta for the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Maisa Bereishis, that idea is lacking. That idea is lacking. The concept. It wasn't that the din didn't have any money in it. There's Paskin Chayav Nisa. But how could you, if it's impossible for a person to recognize truly what din is, and also expend any amount of energy towards a material phenomenon, towards a material good? If he does, then the whole concept of din is wrong. The whole concept of din is wrong. That's what the pasuk says. That's the criticism of the Ach. It's an interesting thing. Lo Sagur, right? Man mentions Lo Sagur Mibnei Ish Ki Amishpul Elokim. What does it mean? Lo Sagur Mibnei Ish. Fine, okay. What's Ki Amishpul Elokim? It means, of course, the Mishpat is a metaphysical phenomenon. It's a metaphysical phenomenon. And fear of a human being is a physical phenomenon. It's an emotional phenomenon. And the Mishpat is Lelokim. It's a metaphysical phenomenon. There is no room in Mishpat for anything else but a recognition of the absolute metaphysical. That's what it means. Yeah, the truth of the matter is that Yosef, there were two, it's a different kind of Din Torah, before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. Because before Matan Torah, the halachic system was not in existence. So therefore, the Psak Din had to be in line with all the rational considerations. It was more a philosophical Psak Din than a halachic Psak Din. Halacha, you're restricted. Once you have a halacha system, you're restricted. You can't take any considerations. Just pure halacha, that's it. But before Matan Torah, it's just like perfection. How were they perfected before Matan Torah? Before Matan Torah, there was a system, but the system was a philosophical system. After Matan Torah, the system assumed certain form, fixed form, for forever, in order that it should be a system of perfection for Dora Doris, for Claudius Royal. And it doesn't exclude philosophical perfection. On the contrary, it caters to philosophical perfection, but it's more than just philosophical perfection. If a person will be, we know that Yadus aims at perfection, but if a person will be perfected, let's say a person eats chazal one day, if he's not perfected, so of course, after the system it's true, because why should you do it, why should you do it? But aside from that, the halacha, before Matan Torah, you can perfect yourself in your own way, according to your own nature. After Matan Torah, you don't have that liberty anymore. There's a system. You can't break the system. But the same thing with Dayanus. The Dayanus before Matan Torah was a philosophical kind of Dayanus. So they held simply that his existence is worthless, so they had to remove him. But there were other considerations. Should we remove him? It wasn't like a psak din. After Matan Torah came out such a thing. I mean, it's chayiv misa, chayiv misa. Skilus rei very v'chani. That's it. You can't. But before Matan Torah, there were other considerations. What's the best way? Maybe we shouldn't destroy him. Maybe ship him off and remove him from the scene. That's it. And let him worry about himself. I mean, it was a question of what to do. Question of what we should do. What? What is the justice right? Because there was no halachic system at the time, so they were trying to work it out rationally. How to deal with the father? You see, that was also part of the din. What about the father? What are we going to tell Yaakov? So ordinarily, I mean, the best thing doesn't sit down, doesn't worry about what they're going to tell this the father there at Tzayach. I mean, father. It was a different kind of a judgment. Different kind of a judgment. It was a judgment that's not based purely on halacha; it was based on philosophical consideration. The question was: should they really destroy him, or should they just simply remove him? Maybe he'll. Who knows? He might do tshuva, whatever. Yeah. There's one thing you see.
No, why they accepted it?
The only thing that's interesting. The only thing that you see What was the... What, they gave a self-criticism of the trial. Themselves, they gave a self-criticism. Well, an interesting thing, they didn't give the criticism of the Navi, of the relationship between the Haftarah and the Torah.
Later on.
Aval Hashem and Vayomish, when they saw that the Ashgacha was going against them, so strange things happening, so that the Ashgacha was going against them, they knew they were under Ashgacha, and they said, this can't be just that coincidental. So they said, Vayomish Aloch, Aval Hashem and Manachna Alachino. They said that we were cold-hearted. We closed our ears to his cries, and we didn't have any rachmanis on him. Alkein boy len atzazos. What did they say? They said an interesting thing. It's a halacha. Halacha is that in every mishpat there must be rachman. There must be rachman. There must be rachman. Hitzilu eidah. It's a halacha of. That's why the Gemara says that you can't have a person on a Beis Din who doesn't have any children, because the way that a person is a merachim on others is via a psychological mechanism, because basically a person's rachmanis is for himself, resides in the self initially, and then when he has a child, it's the first time that there's a bridge, that there's a person that's not himself that he has rachmanis for, he has identification with. And then that's the first bridge between him and between others, because he has somebody that's not him, and yet he feels so strongly for him. So the Gemara says you can't have a dayan that doesn't have a child, because he can't be a merachim. So it's an interesting thing. That's an interesting thing, but that's an interesting thing, because you'll say why. So Yadav demands that in every trial there must be rachmanis. The emotions must be stacked in favor of the defendant. An interesting thing. It's not real justice that we, you'll say, no, why? Absolute justice. Absolute justice demands you shouldn't have any feelings either way. Not true. Not true. In Yadus, the halacha is, in a trial, there must be the emotion of Rachmanis. You must have the emotion of Rachmanis towards the defendant. Even though the decision is not based upon Rachmanis. The decision has to be purely based upon Chachma. But there must be a draw towards the person. An identification with the person, and a draw towards Rachmanis. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Merachim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Merachim. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't Dan Din. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dan Din, absolute justice, no one would exist. Nobody would exist. But the only way we exist is because it's Midas HaRachman. The real justice is impossible to meter out. That's what the Rav one time said. The Rav said, that why does it say Ayin Tachas Ayin, Shein Tachas Shein, Yod Tachas Yod? All the upper cursing from time immemorial have always pointed to the pasuk, and they say, you see, the Torah had a primitive system, chop off a person's hand. But the Chazal, we know, Tashba Peh says, no, it's not Ayin Tachas Ayin, it's Kesef, Mamayin Tachas Ayin, Mamayin Tachas Shein. So why couldn't the Torah write Mamayin Tachas Ayin? So he says, because if it would write Mamayin Tachas Ayin, then you would say that that's justice. Somebody took out another person's eye, so they say, justice demands. This is absolute justice. You give him money, pay him back. But that's not justice, because you can't pay for a human eye. It's impossible. To say Momo Tachasayan is an impossible statement. There's no such thing. Really, it's Ayin Tachasayan. That's the only real justice. But the only thing is that man can't tolerate real justice. If there was real justice, nobody could exist. So that's what the pasuk says. They didn't say that they. You'll notice they didn't say they made a false judgment. Why did they say they made a false judgment? No, apparently they were confident in their judgment, but they went back to the way the judgment was made. We didn't allow Midas HaRachman to enter into the judgment. That was what was wrong. If we would have allowed Midas HaRachman to enter into the judgment, we would have come to a different conclusion. We may have come to a different conclusion, but that's it's not the conclusion that they were concerned with. Because they should have said, "Oh, Hashem and Achnu Achinu, not Hashem and Achnu," but because we condemned him and he didn't deserve to be condemned, we paskin wrong. They didn't say we paskin wrong, because they were on a higher level than that. Not the small person looks. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. It's not what you did. It's not the psak. It's the way it was done. The judgment wasn't on the highest level. Judgment is alakim nitzav badnaskel. Judgment is a metaphysical phenomenon. And we didn't act in the proper way, because Mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands Midas HaRachmim. We didn't have Midas HaRachmim. That's what they said. That was the self-criticism that they made. But you see the level, because an ordinary person would say, we made him, we shouldn't have condemned him. What do we do that for? No, they didn't say we made a mistake. They looked into the way they performed the Mishpat. That is what a Chacham doesn't look into. Everybody can make a mistake. But that's not important what the result was. Important is how you did it. To analyze the way that you did it, the way it came about. Yes, absolutely. It's part of the metaphysical process because it's a part of Mishpat. Man's Mishpat is supposed to, insofar as possible, to imitate Mishpat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's right. That's true. That corruption also took place. But it shows you one thing. It shows you that what the Navi is saying, the relationship between the Haftarah and the Seder is correct. That what was the problem? The problem was that the judgment was not totally on the metaphysical level. If it was on the metaphysical level, then they would have taken into consideration, they would have imitated Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they would have made a judgment that has Rachm on us, and then they also would not have taken, there would be no interest in the money. It was one defect. The defect was that the Mishpah was not on the metaphysical level. Exactly. Yeah. It's an interesting thing, but you see, but there were really two judgments that Yosef was undergoing. One was the judgment on the hands of the brothers, But there was another judgment. That was the judgment that was the metaphysical judgment, the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you see the Psukim point to it. Because the Psukim say that it's like the style of the Psukim. The way the Psukim are written, it's somewhat mysteriously, this little story. When it says, "Vayemer Shaul Yosef, Halachecha Ram B'Shchem, Machal Shlocha Aleihem." So he says, "Your brothers are in Shchem. I'm going to go. I want to send you to them." He says, "Vayomer Lo Hineini." Hineini means, never says Hineini. It means there's a certain resistance there, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm ready to do it. Hineini. What do you mean? Kachnos Bincho. Yeah, Zrizen. Zrizen means you're overcoming. Every emotion was spelled out. Bincha, yechidcha, asher ahavta, es yitzchak. It means that he didn't want, until it said Yitzchak, he couldn't think of Yitzchak. He couldn't think of Yitzchak. So it had to be spelled out precisely. Kachno is bincha, yebincha is Yishmael. Yechidcha, he's zeh yachad lima vzeh yachad lima. Asher ahavta, yeah. Slowly the nevuah came to him until it reached Yitzchak. Why? Because it was very painful for him to take Yitzchak. So Vayama, okay. I'm just going to right. That's in Indian general. That wasn't in by the Akedah. It means no matter how difficult it was, I'm ready to do it. So Rashi says it over him. Sorry, yeah. Loshen of Rizus Yizdares leMisvasav Afisha Yodea BeEchov Shesan Rosa. It means he knew. He didn't want to go. Hineini means I'm ready to do it, but there's something in me that doesn't want to do it. That's what Hineini means. Rizus Hineini. So it says, and the pasuk says, Vayishlocheyu Me'emek Chevron Vayavosh Chamav Yimseyu Ish. Who's this mysterious person? He's blundering in the field. He's wandering in the field. What's going on? So the pasuk says, the chazal say on every one of these phrases. So Rashi says that v'alo chevron b'hor shenema v'yalu b'nei v'vod chevron. So I say me'emek chevron. So it was from this Eitzah, this idea of the tzaddik that's buried in Chevron, was Avram Avinu. So who was this person? Zegavriel. It means to say the pasuk writes it in a mysterious manner to demonstrate the fact that every step was really planned by the Ashgacha. So really, Yosef HaTzadik underwent two psakdins. It was two judgments that he was undergoing simultaneously. It was the judgment of the brothers, but it was the judgment of the Hashgacha. The judgment of the Hashgacha that was the underlying cause of really what happened to him. The brothers were only a means. So the Torah, again, the Torah emphasizes that what was the cause? What was the cause of Yosef HaTzadik? The cause was the metaphysical reality. Not the brothers, not the physical. It was Vayishlocheyo Meim Chevron. It was the metaphysical reality of the Bris Bein Absorim. The Bris Bein Absorim that was responsible for his Mechila.
Okay.
It's on two levels. The phenomena occurred, but the way the Torah describes the phenomena in a mysterious way is because the Torah is trying to show you the idea that this is all Hashgacha. This is all Hashgacha. He didn't know. Actually, let's conclude one idea from the Rav. If you look at the dream, so it says that it's interesting. You know, the older Rav Yeshabeh says that the two dreams, there are two aspects to the dream. Of course, two dreams. The first dream was that Ma'amim Alumim. Ma'amim Alumim means that they'll have physical power over the Achim. And the financial power. And the second one is the Shemfirech. It meant that he would have metaphysical, he would reach metaphysical heights, he'll power over them metaphysically. See? So it's interesting. So the older of Yeshua says you could see the level of the brothers. Because in the first dream, it says, Vayisnu also. They hated him. Yeah, you hate a person. A person that wants to rule over you financially, he wants to have power over you, you hate such a person. It's a natural reaction. But in the second dream, it says, they were jealous. Because, all right, a person has money, all right. They weren't jealous of money. They hated him. If somebody has money and they try to exercise power over me, so I dislike them. But they weren't jealous of the money, because the money is not really the good. But the metaphysical dream, they were jealous of the metaphysical, because their emotions were in line with Chachma. You see, their emotions were in line with Chachma. And that's why I mentioned one time what right did Yosef really have to treat the brothers cruelly? Yeah, what right did he have? So it says he has no right to do that. That was the chait of Penina. Penina tried to torment Chana in order that she should be mispalim, in order to have a child, and then she suffered tragically. Yeah, because, why? Because a person has no right to do that to another human being. You have no right to put another person in a situation to become a tzaddik. Yeah, go into a person's house, I'll take away his food, and they'll make a tzaddik out of him. So no, the kind of you mechuyif to cater to a person's emotions. Those emotions, chesed is to a person's emotions, according to what he needs, according to what he wants. That's his business. So what right did Yosef have to do this? Torment the brothers, torture them for all that time, and his father, and Yaakov, cause him aggravation, tremendous aggravation. So the answer is because it says Vayiska Yosef Eisa Chalom Asa Shecholom, and that was that, because the Cholom was Nevuah. And he saw that then he understood the Cholom. He said, because there were two. One was the financial, and one was the metaphysical. So he said, he understood that now it's his obligation to use the financial power he has to correct them, to correct them metaphysically. To correct them spiritually, yes?
Exactly.
You understand the connection with him. That's why he was allowed to do it. Otherwise, you can't do it. A person's not permitted to do such a thing. You have no right to torment another individual in order to cause him to do tshuva. You have no right to do that. Ill, says Talmud. Rashi was very ill, so Talmud came to him and he came to him Vakachol. He said, New Rebbe, he says, you have to do tshuva? That's not big kacholim, that's vicious. That's vicious, he said. So, but the Rav mentioned with regard to the chalomos. What is strange about the first cholom? What's strange about the first cholom? Strange about the first cholom is that it says ma'almem alumen. What's ma'almem alumen? It's grains. But the brothers, that wasn't their business. What was their business? They were shepherds. Their business, they were sheepherders. So why does he have a dream about the alumen, about the grains? That's not their business. So the Rav said that Yosef HaTzadik, what Yosef HaTzadik was saying with that dream was that there's going to come a time that that we're going to leave this whole life that we have with the sheep herding. It's going to be, we're going to have a totally different existence. And he, that's what he maintained was true. And they held no, that it's not true. That's not so. That's not going to happen. So the Rav said that even though in Psak Halacha we go by the greatest gadol, but when it comes to forecasting what the future fate of Klal Yisrael is, there's no Psak. There's no Psak. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik was entitled to his opinion, even against Yaakov and the brothers. Even against Yaakov and the brothers. And the Ma'al Me'Ma'alum, it was Nevoah, yeah, it was Nevoah. But it was more than a Nevoah. He said that in the Nevoah, Yosef was more than just a Nevoah. From the dream itself, Yosef was telling them a message, that this life that we have is going to cease, and we're going to have a totally different, we're not going to be here anymore. The Ashgacha is that we're not going to stay here. And he was right. You see, the Ashgacha endorsed his opinion, endorsed his view. So the Rav said that with regard to Psak Halacha, you would go by Yaakov Vino. Yachim too, perhaps. Yachim or Gedolim. But with regard to what is in store for Klal Yisrael in the future, there's no such thing as Psak. And the Ashgacha endorsed the view of Yosef HaTzadik, which was that the whole life that they had in Canaan is going to come to an end, and they're going to be living in a totally different environment. It's Ma'al Me'Ma'alum means that they're not going to be in this situation anymore. It's going to be a situation which is centered around the grains, around a different type of financial situation, not the financial situation that they had before. And with regard to that, there is no such thing as Psak Allah. There's no such thing as Psak. That God didn't give over to anybody. So that's why the Rav mentioned that even if Gedolei Yisrael should say that the future of Klal Yisrael, the future of Klal Yisrael is here, like before the Second World War, like Gedolei felt the future is in Europe, that's not given over to... it's not a shot that the Gedolei made a mistake. That area is not given over to man. Not given over to man. But he's... that area is not given over to man. What do you do? Throw it all. Okay.